varying of facility-based methodology versus the current cap in a comparative review. Consider requirements as far as the autologous, as far as whether maybe not that could be separated from the standards. And then, again, if it's going to be remain under regulation, then we would ask that we be allowed at least to make the technical changes that we've been making throughout the other standards as far as format issues and those types of things. So thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Commission discussion? Comments? Thoughts?
Commissioner Goldman, I have one comment. I saw in some of the public testimony in October, and I just heard in Brenda's comment, the potential for three different kinds of things, some technical changes, some more substantive changes, and separation of autologous from other forms of bone marrow. I didn't hear any testimony today about separation, although in Sean's testimony in October, there was a recommendation of separation, so maybe having said it once, and in Patrick's as well, maybe said it once, he didn't want to say it again today. But I don't know that I have enough information about separation. I heard some of the differences in cost and some of the differences in 100-day survival rates, but I'm not sure that that's enough for me to really understand that issue. The other thing I didn't hear was excessive regulation at the state level, and I just want to put that out as a consideration for the commission. It is always appropriate to talk about deregulation, but if nobody's concerned about the level of regulation, it sort of makes it less of a problem for me, at least.
Mrs. Fallahy, I think the one thing we did hear was that in response to your question, is it excessive? The answer was no.
Right.
None of the other speakers commented one way or the other.
Right.
Okay. Other discussion items? Then I want to get to the conflict of interest potential issue again, too. Commissioner Cowley.
Yes, this is Commissioner Cowley. I guess the hesitancy that I have, not only with the whole possible quorum issue that obviously is in front of us, but is with the access and capacity issue, I would really be interested in hearing from St. John's if they truly are having patients being denied access or being turned away because of lack of available opening slots or because of fatalities occurring before, you know. I mean, I think that there's issue there. If there really truly is an access issue, then I think that that's something that we should strongly consider further. But I don't think we had the data available today to tell us. But that would be my concern, is that if it truly does come down to where patients are suffering then because of lack of access, then this is something that we probably should really take to heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Commissioner Sandler, I see it coming.
Is Dr. Oberti still here?
Yes. You can't see him, Mike. He's behind
he
the
would, he could comment on that. Would that help you?
Dr. Uberti, you want to come up to the podium once again, please?
So I think the question was whether or not there's access of patients getting into centers in appropriate amount of time. And the easy answer I can tell you that is no. When we have a patient who needs a transplant, we get them in as soon as we're notified about that patient. Now, does that mean some patients should have been referred earlier in the course of their disease? That's a different issue. Sometimes patients get referred to us and we say, no, this patient is not a candidate for transplant for one reason or another. So we might say no to a patient who's referred to us for transplant because he just doesn't meet our criteria for transplant. The transplant won't help them, or he has other comorbid conditions that make it difficult. But usually, and I think all the transplant centers would agree that once we know a patient needs a transplant, we get them in as soon as we hear about the patient. So I don't think that's an access issue. But again, this is my bias. So I'm a transplant physician who's arguing we do a very good job at this. But But I think if you ask our referring physicians, which keep referring us from the centers that are asking for new transplant centers, I think they would tell you they have as equal access to us as any of the physicians within our own center. So I don't think there's an issue in that.
Thank you.
Can I ask one question while you're here, Joe? It's Commissioner Goldman. To what extent, when you receive a patient from a referring physician, does Karmanos become the medical home for that patient?
So what we try to do is when, let's say we get a patient referred from St. John's, we will say, here's what we need to make that patient a candidate for transplant. You take care of that pre-transplant therapy. You take care of that pre-transplant testing. You send that information to us. We'll do the transplant, and we send the patient back to the St. John facility to be taken care of by their oncologist along with us. So we try to use the transplant as a therapeutic modality for that small portion of that patient's care at our facility and send it back to wherever the referring physician is from. Now, with the allogeneic transplants, which are a bit more difficult to do, very often those patients stay with us for a longer period of time because there are some unique complications that only the transplant physician has expertise in dealing with. So we do keep those patients in our system a bit longer with the hope as we decrease those complication rates, they get referred back to their referring patients also. But that's a little bit more complicated case. But our goal is to keep the patient in our system as short a time as possible and refer it back to the referring physician.
Thank you.
I have a motion that I think I can make without raising a conflict of interest.
Proceed.
and that is a motion based on the lack of availability of all commissioners, so it is a motion to table until such time as we have more commissioners available to consider this issue.
I second that. Okay. Commissioner Kelly.
This is Fallahy. So we have a motion on the floor to table this issue until we have better attendance, and it's been made and supported. That's it. Yeah.
Right. The only question is, so would we go through this whole process of listening to everybody again?
Well, I guess the answer is people are always entitled to submit cards and have public hearings. So, but the result of this public hearing is available, mm-hmm. and commissioners can certainly review it and read it. And we can, if it's going to come back up, which it would, if somebody makes a motion to remove it from the table, we can provide the commissioners who weren't here mm-hmm. with information. And if I were a speaker in the audience, I don't think it would be a good idea to repeat what people already know.
Mr. Poach, this is Fallahy. Mr. Poach agrees with Mr. Goldman's analysis there. So we have a motion to table that's on the before us. Commissioner Sandler.
Yeah, I have a question directed to Mr. Poach. Do you consider Mr. Goldman or me to be in conflict? Do you suggest we vote or not vote on this issue?
On this issue, I don't see the conflict arising. It is simply a motion to table it, not a more substantive vote.
Well, I'm depending on you to keep me out of jail.
Any other questions? Comments?
Yeah, okay. Comment. Don Quixote was written in jail. I just want you to
Commissioner Gold, this is Fallahy with a question for Commissioner Goldman from Brenda. Are you seeking to table it to a certain date or
indefinite?
No. I'm sorry. Of course. My motion would be to table until the next commission meeting. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any further questions? All those in favor of the motion before us, please raise your hand. All right. Carries. Thank you. We'll move on to our next item, which is MRI. And And this time I'll